Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz. With you for the next 2 hours, getting ready for week number 9 in the National Football League. We'll talk a bit about week 8 and Thursday night football and some changes there in Cleveland. George, how you doing on this Saturday morning?
I'm doing okay, Dan. Doing okay. You know, it's funny. Your little tagline, and away we go. I can't decide which one reminds me of. Either the Joker and Batman, that's the one I prefer to believe because I kind of like that little line there.
Yep.
But also, you know, it depends on how old you are here. But in one of the Woody Woodpecker cartoons back in the '70s, it's the witch who can't find her broom. She has to go into a broom factory and a whole bunch of brooms. She goes, and away we go. That's her line to get the broom to fly. And she goes over and over again, and away we go, and away we go. And that's going through my head, too. I'm not so sure what that says about me.
Well, it says a lot, which we don't need to dive into here today. But I've had Jackie Gleason thrown at me, too. He has the song, and away we go. It is born from listening to way too much sports talk radio in New York City in the 90s, and one Chris Russo with how he started his shows. And when I dreamt of being a sports announcer long ago, it just sort of happened, and I've kept it ever since. Whatever memory it conjures for you, that's right. That's the way it's kind of like song lyrics, right? I don't want to project why I say it. I want you to have your own moment there, George.
Oh, it's funny. I ref hockey games, and if I'm dropping the opening faceoff, that tends to be what I say to the centers, and away we go now. So I blame you.
There are 20-year-olds in your neighborhood who hate you for that, and thus they hate me. So I dig it. But let's talk about week number nine. Well, let's talk trades first. I'm sure you spent the entire week breaking down, you know, the moves that did happen, the moves that didn't happen. For Demaryius Thomas going to Houston, obviously a big move there. You have the Golden Tate move. Of all of them, do you have one that you think is the best fit, the best fantasy fit? Which one do you find most intriguing for week nine and beyond from a fantasy football perspective?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I think the most intriguing is probably Golden Tate. A very good slot receiver. He'll slide in there, but does that now just crush Nelson Aguilar? That's what I mean by the most intriguing here, because it sort of affects two people here. Does it just crush Aguilar, who was he played so well last year. In the slot with Carson Wentz. You know, so that I think that's the one that's the most intriguing to me because it affects two people there. All these deals, you want to throw Cooper in here as well, which happened a week before the deadline. It all depends how fast they can learn the system, how fast they can get chemistry with the quarterback. You know, I don't know if it was with you last week, but I think it was, where I brought up specifically with Cooper when we were judging that Dallas may have given up too much, which I don't think it's may, I think they did. When was the last time in the NFL, a receiver came to a new team midseason and did anything. And now we're seeing it so many. You know, there's a lot of reasons why the trade deadline in the NFL was never very active. But one of the reasons was this. There's a reason why you have so many mini camps, you know, and a long training camp, because these players need time to learn the system, learn the offensive system, get in chemistry with the quarterback. You hear about it all the time, even outside of training camp, even outside of the mini camp. The quarterback and the receivers got together so they could throw the ball to each other. Get used to the routes. You know, the quarterback needs to know how fast the receivers go, how much they break out of their routes, how quickly, how sharp, everything like that. So I don't know. You just don't know if any of these guys are going to be able to be somewhat valuable both NFL-wise and fantasy-wise in a week. You know, I guess Tate gets 2 weeks. You know, Cooper got 2 weeks because Dallas had to buy. Cooper, though, I mean, if you want to judge that, Dallas is not all of a sudden going to become a passing team. Does he make the team better? Sure.
Right.
You know,
right.
Defense will have to pay attention to him, but Dallas is not going to throw the ball 40 times a game now. So Cooper's value probably, maybe he's a low-end wide receiver two at best. You know, what he does, once again, take that eighth man out of the box. Defense have to play a safety over the top now and should open up running room for Ezekiel Elliott. So I don't think it really he helps all that much. I like what Tate could bring as far as PPR, assuming he can figure it out. Demaryius Thomas, I like him as well. You know, Houston had to do something. Will Fuller's gone, right? He's on IR. Kiki Cutie's also banged up. So good for Houston going out and getting somebody. And one thing about Thomas, still, much of that defensive attention is going to DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
So Thomas could see a lot of one-on-one, not the focus of the defense. He should benefit from this as well.
Yeah, it should be fun to track. And to your point, I top of brain and even some quick Google searches of, you know, best in-season acquisition in NFL, you don't get much. It just hasn't been the way this league has worked. And to your point as well about training camps and mini camps and all of those things, there's a reason. Now, I'm not saying these offenses are rocket science. I mean that by actual rocket science. Like, they're not putting somebody on the moon, but there's a lot of intricacies and a lot of changes that can happen on the fly, a lot of audibles, a lot of reads, and each offense has its own nuances for good reason, so that other opponents don't know what you're going to run. So these guys making moves midseason, having to learn a whole new playbook and learn those intricacies and learn the audibles and learn, you know, how it all breaks down, it's gonna be tough. And I think Tate obviously has the biggest leverage because of the extra bye week. You know, the 2 weeks to get to know the playbook before he gets out there. But it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun to watch and see players in new jerseys and have them influence some of these playoff races as we move forward. The Hugh Jackson experiment done in Cleveland. You have Hugh Jackson on some sort of strange PR tour, George, where he is just talking up that you know, it's not his fault. It's not his fault the Browns are where they are. He wanted Wentz, and he wanted Mahomes, and he wanted whomever else is out there, Deshaun Watson. And this is all about Baker Mayfield, he's saying. It's not, you know, it's not about discord. It's not about the team being 3-36-1 when he was head coach. It's about Baker Mayfield not performing and the ownership being a little bit afraid of putting it on Baker, so they put it on him. What do you make of this mess? Are you buying Browns moving forward, or do you think this is where sort of the Browns season really nosedives and we recoup next year to try to get the Baker Mayfield experience, or as you coined, the Bayfield experience moving forward?
Yeah, it's been a weird week for a bunch of coaches. I mean, Hugh Jackson could say what he wants. Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he did want the quarterbacks. You know, and he was overruled by the GM. That really wouldn't shock me all that much that he's telling the truth there. But, you know, he really wasn't fired for that. He was fired because he lost control of his coaches. I mean, with Williams and Todd Haley and those power struggle and what's going on here. You know, it's a weird PR tour he's going on now with all this crap. But, you know, and Williams coming out and saying what he had four offers that were just walk in, sign the paper, and you're the head coach. Yet you still elected to be with Cleveland,
right?
Huh? Really? That's interesting. All right, good for you. How loyal you are, you bullshit artist. I mean, that was crap. And John Gruden coming out, what? Oh, I've got so many texts and phone calls of everybody wanting to be a Raider. Are these guys currently in the NFL? I mean, are we talking about 40-over retired players?
Terrell
because I don't
Owens
see anybody
is out there.
Right, I'm sure Terrell Owens gave you a call. Right, Colin Kaepernick probably maybe did as well. But, you know, don't get me tell me people want to be a Raider right now. That's a dysfunctional organization that's moving in a couple of years. You know, I have no doubt there are players who do, but don't act like it's everybody in the NFL. All right. So it's like I said, you know, it's something I like to say over and over again. When can you tell a coach is lying? When his lips move. You know, they lie all the time. They're all trying to pump themselves up, pump the team up, make themselves look better. It is what it is. You know, Hugh Jackson's trying to get another job. You know, but he's still sort of throwing his old organization under the bus. Maybe he knows he's not going to get another job anyway, not a head coaching job anyway, that he has no shot, which at 3-36-1, you would think everybody would know anyway. But listen, it's sort of human nature. You know, they're all just trying to, you know, cover their own ass. You know, and it wasn't me, not my fault. You know, I wanted this guy. I wanted that guy. And as for your last question, I think this is now the implosion of Cleveland. You know, I think this was the implosion anyway, no matter what was going on this year. Just look at the schedule. You know, you play KC, then you play Atlanta, Cincinnati, Houston, Carolina, Denver on the road on a, what is this, a Monday, a Saturday night game, then Cincinnati again, then Baltimore again. Where's the win? Where's the next win, Dan? 2019? Preseason next year? I mean, I feel bad.
It's a rough road.
I do, but yeah, I don't see it. Maybe be, you know, I don't know if you're going to go 0-8. You know, if you don't, well, actually, it'd be worse than that, right? You've already lost three, so I don't know if you're going to lose 11 straight. You know, I'm not going to say that, but boy, you got two wins right now. The over-under is probably 4, and I think I'd bet the under.
And it's such a shame that they are 2-5-1 with, and listen, every single team goes through bad calls, bad officiating, mistakes, batted balls. It's all, there's a lot of luck involved in the NFL and all pro sports, but that they're 2-5-1 when, honestly, 3-4-1 or even 4-3-1 was a real possibility based on the games they were playing and how tight they were and where they came down to. But we are where we are. It's 2-5-1. They have to face Patrick Mahomes this week, who may really turn their number 3 DVOA pass ranking upside down if Williams doesn't have this team ready to go. But you mentioned a gentleman by the name of John Gruden there, who not only says players want to come to Oakland after an embarrassing loss on Thursday night, 34-3 to none other than the next heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, Nick Mullins. The Oakland Raiders head coach said, not only do players want to come here, we're building a Super Bowl championship team. So our poll is out, folks. Will the Oakland Raiders win a Super Bowl with John Gruden as head coach? Yes or no? Let us know over there on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio. George, I have a feeling I know your answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Will the Oakland Raiders win a Super Bowl with John Gruden at the helm?
Well, first off, I don't blame Gruden for the statement. All right, I've gotten on Gruden for a lot, but making the statement doesn't bother me. What's he supposed to say? Oh, God, I got 8 years left.
I'm here to collect my millions. Let me collect my millions.
I don't see it, man. We got a long ways to go. A Super Bowl in the Meyer regime? Oh, I don't know. But no, so I have no problem with the statement. I mean, if you're asking me, I'll just go by the smart money says no. Odds are they won't. You know, but that's not a knock on Gruden. You think about it. You know, and I discussed this with, I can't remember who. I think it was Dane. I think it was Dane Martinez on Friday. All right, think about this. They have 5 number one picks over the next 2 seasons, right? Mobile trades, then Mac, Amari Cooper. 5 number one picks over the next 2 seasons. If they get the number one overall this year, and Gruden is telling the truth about Derek Carr being his franchise quarterback, and they don't want to take a quarterback at number one overall, that means they'll probably trade out of that. Right? Because you're going to trade whoever wants he's the number one guy coming out as of right now. So they'll probably trade out of that. And that could easily be 2-3 more number ones. Sure. Easily, depending on how far they're willing to go down. They could easily have 7 or 8 first-round picks over the next 3 seasons. Easily. I already mentioned they have 5. If you're counting 3 seeds, now they'll have their own, so they'll have 6. And they'll get at least 1 or 2 more number ones if they trade out of that number one spot. I mean, I don't really knock the Raiders for what they're doing here. I don't. Because you're building for Vegas, which is really what you're supposed to do. You're going for the new. We see this over and over again in all sports, not just football. When you have a new arena, you're building for that arena. You know, and the new place you're going to play. So that's what he's doing. He's playing for Las Vegas. You know, does it suck for the actual Oakland fans in Oakland? Yeah, it does. Because they're not really playing for you. They're playing for Vegas in 2 years. And with all those picks, you're not going to hit on all of them, but if you hit on a majority of them, I mean, damn, this should be a good team. You know, it really should be. That being said, I think if the Raiders get the number one overall pick, they're taking Hey Bear.
There you go. I agree with you. I think, I still think Gruden's a nut job, but you are right. He's saying the things that any coach would say, and they're building towards that move to Vegas. They will not come out and say that, but it is a 3 to 5 year plan going on for the Raiders trying to build something. And hey, what? Gruden's there for 10 years. He may bring a championship to the Oakland, well, to the Raiders franchise, not to the Oakland franchise, to the Las Vegas one in the distant future. Lots to talk about here for week 9. We'll go game by game. We'll talk some DFS. We'll talk some wagering, of course. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz, find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We'll open up the phone lines in hour 2. Back with more after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Many times over, we've discussed misheard lyrics in my house, and my sister-in-law just realized that Raspberry Beret was not, in fact, Raspberry Parade. She thought her entire life that the lyrics were Raspberry Parade. And we went through this discussion. This song here, Blinded by the Light, George, probably some of the most misheard lyrics ever written. As the second lines there confused a lot of people for a long time, but it makes for some fun discussions when you realize that the lyrics you've been singing your entire life are completely wrong. Nonetheless, speaking of completely wrong, now that's a bad segue. Anyway, talking week 9, plenty to break down here. Want to go game by game, as we always do. At the top, we typically go through each game and then talk wagers and top plays. Anybody, George, might be looking to sit in any of these contests and try to make our way through to make sure we're giving you guys a proper breakdown of each and every contest. Want to jump right into the fray here. We talked about Cleveland Baker Mayfield here. You have a -8.5 for the Kansas City Chiefs. They open at 30.25. They're down to 29.75. The Browns have bumped up from 21.75 implied total to 22.25. And it's a 52 over under. A small number, it seems, George, for the Kansas City Chiefs on the season. But nonetheless, here we are, a game that I'll enjoy watching because I love watching Patrick Mahomes play football. What do you got in this one? Any concern at all about how Cleveland's been pretty solid on the pass game? Do you think that affects Mahomes, or is this a game where they just blow the doors off of Greg Williams and this defense?
I mean, I'm going to lean towards blow the doors off. Nothing against Cleveland. They've done it to everybody else. You know, I don't know if Cleveland's going to be a team to stop them. I mean, slowing this team down is 27, 30 points. I mean, that's what slowing this team down means. You know, so unless the weather's going to be awful tomorrow in Cleveland, which I have not checked, I don't see how the Browns are going to be able to stop them. You know, like I said, you're hoping for slowdown. You know, keep it at 27, then as far as betting's concerned, maybe the Browns can cover the 10 points. But right now, I mean, I worry about this Browns team more on offense than I do on defense because, you know, Haley's gone now. So I understand they're keeping most of the terminology the same. But, you know, now Mayfield's more than likely going to have to learn a new offense next year. So does that kill next year for him, too, before he totally grasps something? It's so hard for him for really any quarterback, unless you're, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, been around, Drew Brees, who've been around forever. When you got to pick up new terminology, new offense, because now instead of just playing football, you're thinking out there. So I do worry about that eventually. But no, I don't see KC being stopped here. I don't. I think they're going to score some points here. I think fantasy-wise, you're going with all your normal guys, which you are every week with KC. Might be a little worried about Tyreek Hill and the groin injury. You know, he practiced fully Friday, so he should be good to go. But you always wonder if that's going to pop its ugly head again. Groins have a tendency where you really don't know until they get out there and play in the game. You know, get that adrenaline glowing, make those cuts, and see if it is truly healed here. That being said, I'm starting them.
This is a game that I do agree with you, George, that I think Mahomes gets his enough, and I think that you're going to see them perform. But you have seen this Browns defense do a pretty solid job against some of the best quarterbacks in the league. Roethlisberger, Brees, Phillip Rivers. I know Winston had a solid week, but that was mainly because of rushing. I love, and I'm not really breaking ground here, but Kareem Hunt in DFS this week. He's priced up, so it's not like you're getting a discount anyway. But this Cleveland rush defense has been gashed. So I really love what Kareem Hunt might do this week. The problem being, that hasn't been Kansas City's MO, right? They haven't focused on the run when it's available. They are an air raid offense, and they will continue to be so. But I'm hoping to see Hunt get 15 to 20 carries, maybe 5 to 7 targets. I think this could be a huge, huge week for him against the Cleveland Browns defense. On the other side, obviously this Kansas City defense gives up plenty as well. We talked about Baker Mayfield to start the show. It's a rush defense that is probably worst in the NFL. So you have Chubb. You have Duke Johnson potentially waiting in the wings to get more touches with Hugh Jackson and Todd Hilligan. Do you like any of these Cleveland Brown offensive pieces as potential high upside plays against Kansas City?
Well, like is a strong word. I mean, yeah, you're probably starting Chubb. You know, once again, six teams on bye. Chubb's better than decent running back, so I can't see how you're not starting Chubb. Same thing with Landry. I mean, you'd have to be pretty damn deep at those positions, even during this bye week, to say, hey, I'm not going to start Trouble Landry. So you start these guys. I think the question is pretty much anybody after that. You know, and the first name that comes to mind is Njoku. You know, am I starting Njoku here? And once again, it's probably. You know, we're losing Engram, Doyle, Ebron, Uzuma, Ertz. You know, you want to go far down as Ricky Seals-Jones? Fine, you're losing him too. If you could sit Njoku, just as a possibility, you could still have Njoku as a second tight end to somebody else. That's where he was drifting in that 12 to 14 range, so it's possible here. But Njoku probably goes for me as well. Not that I expect big things of him. I'm just looking at the buys and seeing what else you're going to throw out there instead of Njoku, and I don't see it. After that, no, I'm not starting Callaway. You know, I know they could be throwing the ball, so I'm not starting to start Callaway or Higgins. I get it. They could be passes in the air here to catch up, but I don't do it. Baker Mayfield, he's in the streaming category, and maybe, but I think there are other streamers I would still prefer above him here, but I could see you starting Baker Mayfield in this game. Once again, you had luck. Not there. He's gone. Carson Wentz, not there. Gone. I could see where Mayfield's your number two or somebody picked up off the waiver wire, and you have to go with him. And that doesn't bother me because there's not really a ton of great streaming quarterbacks on the waiver wire this week. It really came down to Mayfield. You know, Trubisky's not a good start this week because the Buffalo, you know, whatever you want to say about them, they can play a good pass defense. Case Keenum might have been your choice number two. And, you know, he's been less than satisfying most of the season anyway, and he just lost to Marius Thomas. Ryan Fitzpatrick, as much as we like him, yeah, going up against Carolina, not great either. So, he's in that bunch. And if you picked up Mayfield instead of Fitz, instead of Keenum, this doesn't bother me. I don't mind it.
You already mentioned the over-under here. I'm not touching this game from a wagering perspective. Just the numbers don't feel quite right across the board. I'm seeing it at -7.5 currently as a live spread and 52 over-under. So take that for what it's worth. The Cleveland defense is low-key better than people probably expect, but at least against the pass, against the rush, they're pretty poor on the year, at least looking at a stat like DVOA over on Football Outsiders. Well, let's move on to our next contest. We'll look at Tampa Bay at Carolina, where you have Jameis Winston benched. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick now under center. Any interest in Fitzmagic for the rest of the season there, George? I know his season-long stats, taking his averages, he's still one of the top fantasy quarterbacks in the league. Do you go back to him here without any hesitation, or do you think this is a dysfunctional Tampa Bay Buccaneers team?
Oh, it's been dysfunctional all year, so nothing's changed
that's fair.
Now.
That's fair.
I mean, now the question you it's a little tricky question there, Dan. You said Fitzpatrick for the rest of the year. No.
Yes.
No, they're going to go. They're going to go back to Winston. They don't have a choice here. Not unless the GM's already made up his mind that Winston's not the man next year.
Yep.
You know, they have to decide to pick up that $20.9 million. You know, so if the GM's already made his choice and he's the third, and you see that Winston's the third string quarterback tomorrow, and that means they're protecting himself against injury, they don't want to guarantee that contract next year, then you're fine with Fitzpatrick. The GM's made his choice then. But assuming he's just the backup, that means Winston has to play again. I'm not saying Winston's the man, but I'm saying the GM needs to make his final declaration on Winston. It's an interesting dynamic with Winston here because Dirk Cutter, I have to believe that Cutter's going to get fired no matter what, right? He's gone at the end of the season, maybe if not before then. But Cutter has to realize, and I don't blame him here. This is where it gets tricky in the NFL. He needs to win now. He probably thinks that if I have any chance of saving my job, I need to win now. And he's right. Probably needs to win his last 8 games or 7 of 8, 6, whatever it might be. And Fitzpatrick gives him the best chance to win those games. They won't because their defense is horrendous. But he gives them the best chance to win those games. So Cutter is going to want to start Fitzpatrick. The GM needs to make that evaluation on Winston. He's going to want Winston in there. He knows what he has in Fitzpatrick, a very good backup, not a starter. So this is a mess because they're both going to be against each other here. Right now it's going Cutter's way. Eventually, though, I have to wonder if the GM just goes to Cutter, you start Winston, why fire you now? Yeah, it's one of those situations because they need to know. And the Buccaneers organization needs to know about Winston. He's only 24 years old. This is not a 31-year-old guy. Okay, he's done. It's not working out. They need to know. It's just $21 million you got to pay this kid next year and or you got to draft the quarterback. So this is big time here. They need to know here. This season's done. So it's really evaluation time here. The defense is – it was bad before the season started. It's been decimated with injuries. They're not getting any better. They'll score points, but they're not getting any better. So they need to know about Winston. You know, I think he gets Winston. He's probably not starting this week. That's Fitzpatrick. And I don't blame them. After that performance last week, they probably had to start Fitzpatrick and at the very least give Winston a break. But after that, I think they have to go back to him. Well, it's next week, the week after. They need to make that judgment on him. They need to know. A quarterback is too important in the NFL. So, no, I don't think Fitzpatrick gets the rest of the year. I think he gets tomorrow. And you said it. His fantasy number has been fantastic outside of the one game, was the Monday night game versus Chicago. You know, they've been very good. The Tampa Bay quarterback position is top five in fantasy. So, overall. So, you're going to see people start Fitzpatrick here. It isn't the best matchup on the planet against Carolina on the road. But still, you're going to start Fitzpatrick. Like I said, he's a solid streaming quarterback. Him, Keenan, Mayfield, my top three streamers this week. And people are going to go to him. And, hey, you lost luck with no one else out there. You could do a lot worse than Fitzpatrick.
I wonder from a receiving core perspective, do you like anyone because of Fitzpatrick being under center? Evans is a physical specimen. We've seen him do well with both Fitzpatrick and with Jameis Winston. It does seem as though he came back to life a bit when Fitzpatrick came in last week. Do you like Evans? Do you like Godwin, DeSean Jackson? Are these all full goes against the Carolina Panthers, or do you see this as a tougher matchup and we shouldn't expect similar results to what we saw to start the year from Fitzpatrick?
Fitz was hot in the early part of the year. I don't know if we could see it to that level this week. I don't. But the volume's going to be there. I mean, the running game has played better of late. You know, I think Barber's gotten over 80 yards two of his past three starts. Solid. But like I said, the defense is so bad. I mean, anybody not see Carolina scoring 30-plus points tomorrow? I mean, so I got them scoring 30-plus. Matter, this is the one game where I'm taking I'll lay the points, too, and take Carolina. But the volume is going to be there for Tampa. Will Fitz make some mistakes? Yeah, he will. You know, Evans just starting, of course. What we saw early in the year was, man, Fitz likes hitting DeSean Jackson. They're looking for those go routes, those post routes. The fly patterns, they're going to look for DeSean Jackson. So I'm starting DeSean Jackson here as well. And Godwin is probably the one where, depending on what else is on your roster, but once again, 6 teams on bye. I'm not going to go name every receiver that's not playing tomorrow. Right. I assume Godwin's going on most teams. DeSean Jackson looked for him, especially in the red zone earlier this year.
Yeah, it should be a fun game. I think this one has potential to be a much higher scoring game than maybe perceived by these two teams, right? When you look at Carolina, you think, oh, there's some defense there. They run the ball a ton, and they're going to be in a low scoring contest. Well, Tampa Bay doesn't stop anybody. And on the other side, Carolina gives it up for the run. So you have Ronald Jones out. Peyton Barber's not good. I think we can all agree on that, but he's going to have an opportunity here against a fairly mediocre Carolina run defense that has given up 6 touchdowns over the past 7 games. Now that's a lot of context-dependent stuff, where the ball's down on a long pass or how the play flow sets up, but it is something to think about. You also do have Jaquizz Rodgers, who got a ton of snaps last week. Don't think he's a season-long idea, but from a flyer perspective in something like a millionaire maker or a really deep GPP field, maybe Rodgers gets some more touches than you're expecting and can have a touchdown. And obviously that makes a world of difference. Cam Newton is high-priced across the board in DFS with good reason. I assume Cam is an easy start for you and somebody you probably expect some pretty big output from this week, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking DFS-wise, the only quarterback I would start above him would be Mahomes.
Right.
Other than that, Cam, I believe on DraftKings, Cam is 6,600. That sounds good to me. Yeah, I'm doing that. As I said, it'll be in most DFS lineups, Dan, each and every week or past month now, I've sort of been forced. Mahomes, Thielen, Gurley. And then work from there. I hate starting, you know, that they're highly priced. But you don't have it. They're just outscoring people by so many points, you don't have a choice. You know, you got to start with those guys and go from there. It's I don't know if tomorrow's going to change that for me. I said I could save the 800 because offhand they get 7,400 from Mahomes and go Cam. I can do that. You know, but Thielen probably still has to go. You know, I don't know if Detroit's slowing him down from the 100 yards, nine straight games. Gurley, yeah, Saints have a good run defense here, so maybe. But I think I'm going once again. Mahomes or Cam, Gurley, Thielen. I think that's sort of I have to be proven wrong. You know, that I have to be stopped 1 week from those three to not start that trio and then work from there. So, yeah, it's either Cam or Mahomes.
That makes a ton of sense. Cash game, you know, getting that baseline, getting the floor from the three best players at each of their positions makes a ton of sense when you're trying to figure out where to go, especially as we've seen some upside-down stat lines from some cheap price tag players at running back and wide receiver over the course of the first 8 weeks of the NFL. Let's roll along here. We'll always come back. If you have a question, feel free to tweet at us at FNTSY Radio over there on Twitter, and we will open up the phone lines in segment two of hour two. So I'll give you the phone number just before that in case you want to call in and ask George a question about your lineup construction. Let's go to a barn burner here, George. Jets at Dolphins. We get yet another week of Brock Osweiler. It has not turned well over the past couple of weeks, but hey, he had a big game 3 weeks ago, so it's good for Brock. But this is a game where you have some injuries. Well, you have a ton of injuries on the Dolphins side of the ball. The Jets have no wide receivers left with Enunwa and Robbie Anderson continuing to be hampered this week in practice. I haven't seen exact word, but maybe we see Rishard Matthews at some point for New York. But a game that I can't say, other than being a Jets fan, I would watch. What do you make of this one? Matchup is pretty even. Maybe Dolphins, I think the Dolphins are favored by 3 here at home. But what do you got in this one?
Boredom. How about boredom?
Yeah,
that's what I have here. Living in New York, we're forced to watch this game. Fantasy-wise, Dolphins give up, $1.43 on the ground each week. So I expect the Jets to try and run the ball hard with Isaiah Crowell. They're going to activate Elijah McGuire, too, although I might tap my brakes there. People rushing to grab him. It's still the Crowell show there. The problem is this. Jets are still banged up at wide receiver. You know, nobody I'm really dying to start there. Dolphins know that. So they're going to try and stop the run. Maybe put that eighth man in the box. Focus the defense on Crowell, forcing Sam Darnold to beat them. Don't know if Sam Darnold could do that tomorrow. So that's where you got to go with the Jets there. Outside of Crowell, not really dying to start anybody there. Kenyon Drake looks like a play again for Miami. They're more focusing on him in the offense, passing game and run game there. Devonta Parker. You know, we had a Devonta Parker sighting last week. Big game, right? 134 yards against the Texans, so he's back in my lineup because the Jets secondary that's been giving this season.
You can call us in segment two of hour two, 844-843-6879. Of course, as always, reach out on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Let us know any questions you might have about roster construction this week or DFS questions. Back with more on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz coming back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Lillard. Feeling it here?
You know, I'm sure I've heard this song back in the 70s. That's where it's yep. from. But until Sean found
I couldn't tell it was from the 70s.
It has to be. I mean, first of all, you know, you brought up Manfred Mann and before about wrong tunes that we've been singing. Now, it's all that's going through my head now. This whole show, by the way, is wrapped up like a, well, he said it's Deuce. It certainly sounds like Deuce.
Well, it's a Springsteen song. It's a Springsteen song.
Yeah, yeah. He actually had a big interview with that track to explain that. And also, don't Bring Me Down, Bruce is going through my head, too, because I actually changed the name to Bruce because everybody thought it was Bruce. You're killing me here with songs that we all have the lyrics wrong to for years and years. But that Dallas Cowboys song, it brings me back. It had to be around. I had to have heard it, but it didn't ring any bells as far as when Sean found it, when God bless for finding this stuff. But yeah, it has to be 70s. It sounds like 70s crap.
If you want something to do for a rainy Saturday, like we have here in my neighborhood, you can go over to kissthisguy.com, which is based off of Excuse Me While I Kiss the Sky from Jimi Hendrix. Everyone thought it was Kiss This Guy. Kissthisguy.com. It's all the misheard lyrics you can search. So have some fun, dive in, and see what you've been mishearing your entire life when it comes to misheard lyrics. But nonetheless, we continue on here talking about week number 9 in the National Football League. If you have questions, at FNTSY Radio. And don't forget, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. We roll on here in week number 8, finishing up the Jets, Dolphins. What do you think there? Is that a Dolphins win, or do you think the Jets have a chance in that one, George?
Oh, I think the game's fairly even. You know, probably whichever quarterback makes the least amount of mistakes, Brocky Top or Darnold there. I'm not touching the game as far as betting is concerned. I mean, no thank you. The line is pretty much, 2.5 I'm looking at here for Miami. Over-under is 43.5. But this is a game. You know, Dan, if it was a standalone game, if we look at this as a Monday night game, Sunday night, Thursday night, yeah, I might put some money on the game just because I'd have a little bit extra because I don't have any fantasy players in this game. But this is a game, I got the man cave here. I got the 3 TVs. It'll be on that 3rd TV in the corner, where I don't have to stare at it all day and start snoozing. Because this is one of those days, I think you're around my age, Dan. You know, I remember watching football, like in the 80s, but we didn't have anything. You had the local games, and you'd get the 1 o'clock game. Usually the 1 o'clock game was Jets-Colts. And they both sucked back then. And then the 4 o'clock game was like Giants Cardinals. And once again, both terrible. And it was like, where is my revolver? Because I mean, the TV is shooting myself because it was just so bad. If you're the younger generation, we killed just to get the 10-minute ticker. And that's when they would show out of town scores every 10 minutes. That's what they called it. And they lied about that too. It was like every 20 minutes. But you'd kill for that just to find out that Denver was beating Oakland 28-21 in these games because the local games were just terrible. And you didn't always get that second game to entertain you. We didn't have the internet back then. Yes, we had to walk uphill to school 5 miles both ways in 7 feet of snow. This is what this reminds me of, a game that I just want really very little to do with.
These young whippersnappers today, they don't understand what they have when it comes to the red.
Damn right. Get off my lawn.
But I was going to ask, is that 3rd TV like a 13-inch black and white that has the rabbit ears sticking out of the back of it? But
listen, I had one of those, okay? That's my first TV.
We all did. Yeah, we all did. With the
we had to get up and change the channel, you little brats.
And between UHF and VHF signal on the TV, you can flip back and forth. Come on, that's brilliant. Let's talk next. Oh, boy, those were the days. Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit at Minnesota. Should be a good one. Obviously, Detroit saying they're not throwing the towel, trading off Golden Tate. They believe I guess, that he is replaceable and weren't planning to sign him this offseason. So they got some sort of value back for him, trading him off to the Philadelphia Eagles. On the other side, and by the way, I meant to say Brocky Top, referencing Rocky Top, which is a Tennessee thing, is a name I have not heard for Brock Osweiler. I use Brock Party and Rock Out with Your Brock Out a lot, but Brocky Top may have to make its way into the rotation there. Well done. Let's go Minnesota-Detroit, -5.5, implied total of 27.25 for Minnesota, 21.75 for the Detroit Lions, an over-under that's dropped under 50 to 49 as a live total at present. This could be a fun game. Obviously, I think, to your point earlier, Adam Thielen, you start, and you probably are starting in DFS cash games, even at 8,900 over there on DraftKings, just because of the consistency in the floor. But what do you got in this one? Any guys that maybe drop off your radar because of matchup or because of situation, or is this another offensive game for you?
Well, once again, when we say we don't like somebody, you know, if you're listening out there, keep in mind, six teams on bye. That doesn't mean you don't start the guy. You may have no choice. You can't go to a lesser player. But bad matchup is Kerryon Johnson. Minnesota's good against the run. I mean, they're really good against the run. And I like Kerryon Johnson. I do. But I think it's going to be a tough running matchup for him. If I had better options, yeah, I'd like to go in that direction. I don't see a big game coming out of him. Even Matthew Stafford, I think, is going to struggle so much. I think the Lions are now going to base their offense around Kerryon Johnson and Galladay. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen here, that Galladay is now the guy they want to base the passing offense around. Golden Tate is gone. And I don't blame Detroit for trading Golden Tate. I know the division is somewhat close here, but you said it. They weren't going to sign him next year anyway. So I think teams are going to be doing this more like baseball does it, more like they do in hockey. You know, I assume they do it in basketball too. If you're not going to sign him, you're not really in playoff contention. Hey, let's get some value for him. You know, move him on here. So I'm, as a fantasy guy, sports fan, I'm hoping the NFL trade deadline goes crazier and crazier each year. You know, but I think as we discussed earlier, a lot of that's going to depend on how teams feel about these guys picking up new offenses midseason. But that being said, Galladay only been targeted three times the last two games, so that was a problem. That should obviously uptick, and maybe uptick quite a bit here. Marvin Jones gets a boost as well, as far as outside receivers. You got T.J. Jones, maybe he gets an uptick as well, but I'm not banking on him in anything more. If you're deeper than the 12 team leagues, fine. 10-12, probably not going that direction yet. I said, don't like the Kerryon Johnson matchup. Everything else should be okay. Minnesota. Dalvin Cook might get 15 to 20 touches. 15 to 20 snaps, I'm sorry. 15 to 20 touches, I'd be thrilled. What the hell do we do here? This is becoming extremely annoying. Because if you're a fantasy fan and you own both, you're like, listen, either he starts full-time or sit him. Right? I mean, cut the crap here. Where he's going to play 15 to 20 snaps. What does that do for me? You know, do I start Cook? Well, probably not. Do you start Murray? Yeah, I mean, I think if you have both, I'm still starting Murray. I think Murray's going to play more. Hey, let me ask you this, Dan. What has Cook done that makes us assume that he's going to come back and be on RB1, that he's going to be the better back than Murray? Murray's having a damn good season. Cook can't stay healthy. Cook's had, what, four or five good games in the NFL? That was last year. He's done nothing this year. You know, if I'm Minnesota, this may just be maybe a lost year for Cook. And maybe you have to ride Murray. And fantasy owners aren't going to want to hear that. But that has to be going through Zimmer's mind somewhat. That maybe Murray's the man that gives him the best chance to win now. You know, and you're bringing along Cook so slowly. Just strange. So for fantasy, like I said, if you own both, I'm going Murray. If you just own Cook, I don't want to start him. Once again, it'll depend on what else you have on your roster. But I don't want to start Cook tomorrow. Not if he's only going to play 15, 20 snaps. That is the definition of you need a touchdown to have him return any kind of value.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I agree with you. Dalvin Cook in college, dynamic player. Different player altogether. Dalvin Cook in his first few games was dynamic, but again, for fantasy analysts and for draft analysts, we are always talking about sample size and talking about needing depth and breadth of work, and then we see somebody for four games and he's dynamic. We're like, oh, he's going to always be dynamic. The injuries have racked up here, and they continue to be persistent problems with him. I would not want him on my roster this week, meaning I wouldn't want to have to be faced with the decision to start or not start him, just simply because I think it's a trap. I think the trap where Murray's playing well. This is a game where they should be scoring points, so you hope that your running back is doing more work in the second half. And I think that it's a downside play to get Cook into your lineup just because I don't see him doing a ton this week. And I saw somebody else, another fantasy analyst from a different network, decrying the idea of using the term pitch count in football. So basically saying, like, if Dalvin Cook's on a pitch count, much like you hear in baseball, a pitcher is only going to throw enough pitches, that it's a different sport, come up with something different. And I think just limited snaps makes sense. But for some reason, we become so enamored with phrases. But I do agree with him. He shall remain nameless here. But I think that is a good point. Let's keep the analogies and the wordplay within the sports as best we can, because otherwise it gets confusing over time. Let's roll along here. Game-by-game analysis of week number 9 in the National Football League. I do think that'll be a tight game. I do love Marvin Jones from a DFS perspective. I know he's leading the team in air yards and could have definite wide receiver one upside with those extra targets. I think, what was it, about 9 or 10 targets per game that Tate was seeing? That now should be distributed, or at least in theory should be distributed amongst the other wideouts between Galladay and Marvin Jones there. So I like Jones a lot this week in DFS. Let's go to Atlanta at Washington. George, Adrian Peterson's not supposed to be doing what he's doing, right? I mean, like, to start the year, he signed for what? The vet minimum. He's 73 years old, and he's not supposed to be running like this, but yet here we are with Adrian Peterson having a very valuable season, both for the Skins and for fantasy owners who decided to jump in on him. This matchup with the Falcons seems like a plus one again for a running back. One where Atlanta ranks, 31st in DVOA against the rush. They've given up a ton of yards on the year. They've given up scores. Is this another week for Adrian Peterson with Chris Thompson banged up?
Well, all the numbers tell us it is. Right, every stat you get, you're not going to be able to find a stat that says Atlanta's going to be able to stop them on the run, with the exception of they're coming off a bye. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. There's no way Atlanta's afraid of this passing game. What passing game? I mean, Alex, for this, once again, keeping everything short, always receivers seem to be hurt. You know, so I got to think Atlanta, and this is any team playing Washington, has to sell out to stop Peterson. If you stop Peterson, you should stop the Skins. And even if you don't, you know, it's still only scoring 20 points a game. It's not just, it's obviously going to light it up. They're not. Skins are really doing it with mirrors. I was surprised they weren't one of those teams that were able to pick up a receiver at the deadline. You know, we did hear rumors that they were in on Cooper, in on a couple other guys, but didn't pull the trigger. You know, surprised for a first-place team. That they didn't. If everybody else can make moves, that's the way the NFL is going to go now. Surprised the Skins didn't pick up all that and get a receiver of their own here. So, like I said, I think they're doing it with mirrors as far as winning, and they're leading the division right now. Still think Philadelphia wins that division in the end. But yeah, they're going to feed AP. They have no choice. You know, and see if Atlanta can stop them. If Atlanta can, I think Atlanta may win this game, and I think they may win this game going away. Yeah, because the way I look at the Falcons, even in a bad game, they're scoring 24 points. Yeah, I think they'll score 21 to 24 with that offense. Yes, Washington picked up Clinton Dix to sort of fortify the secondary, play defense, and the defense is good. You know, it is good. I just don't know if it's good enough. Yeah, right. I just don't know if it's good enough in this game to hold off the Falcons. If the Falcons weren't coming for bye, I might feel differently, but they'll be fresh. I think the Falcons still feel like they're in this thing, and they can go on a run in the second half of the season. If you look at their schedule for the Falcons, they're not wrong. You know, they're not wrong about possibly going on a run. You look at the Falcons here. All right? What are they? They're 3-5. You play Washington and Cleveland the next 2 weeks. And then Dallas. I would think minimum you win 2 out of 3. And there's a good chance you win all 3. You know, so now you're 6-5. If you can win the next 2 games coming up this bye on the road, Washington, Cleveland, I certainly think you beat Dallas at home. Even if Dallas is better with Cooper, they can't score the points you can. That's 6-5. You know, before you get to that big New Orleans game. You probably schedule gets a little tougher. Duh, New Orleans, Baltimore, Green Bay. But by then, you're reinvigorated. So I think for Atlanta, their season's the next 3 weeks. Get back in this race. You know, back in the wild card race here. So I think they come out of the strong. Give me the Falcons here. They're one of the, as far as Dane asked me for 3 games, I would bet tomorrow, Falcons, Washington are one of my top bets here. I'm taking the Falcons, and I think it was +1.
I like it. Yeah, I saw a varying line on this one, depending on what book you were looking at. Currently see it at -2 on the track site. I not a book itself, but tracks different Vegas totals and has it at minus two as sort of the average on books out there. But I've seen it at minus one. I've seen it at minus two and a half. So I like Atlanta here too. I also like the over here. I think that this game doesn't get much defense. Now, it is check down Alex, so I'm not looking for a ton of air yards from the Washington Redskins. And let's be honest, George, we've talked about it week over week, and the fact that Jordan Reed has been healthy all year, but still, and now he has a neck. You guys can't see this.
He has a neck? Good to know.
Air quotes, exactly. Well, I love designations in football. Well, he's out with a quad. Wait, what? Like, what does that even mean? He had a neck injury. He did practice fully on Thursday. So, but Reed has been so misused in an offense with a quarterback that you would think would use him. Like, I am baffled by how a guy in Alex Smith, who is known for checking down and not throwing downfield, has struggled with Reed, who is probably the Redskins right now best downfield receiver in the, you know, running down the seam. But this is a guy who operates in the middle of the field in that check down space 80-90% of the time, and Alex Smith can't find him. Like, how does that happen?
I can't put it any better than you just did, Dan. I mean, I can't. The man's healthy. He's never healthy. He's healthy all year. And Smith is throwing nothing but short passes, but not to Reed. I mean, well, I guess the good news is Reed did have seven catches last week. It only went for 38 yards, but I'll take it. You know, I do own Reed in a dynasty league, so I'll take it. I'll take the 10 points. All right, I'm not being greedy here. Just give me anything. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And Smith has used his tight ends in the past. Kelsey, Vernon Davis back with San Fran. So why he's not using him here? And you said it. There's no one else here. There's no Michael Thomas here. There's no Antonio Brown here. I mean, Crowder and Richardson, gone. They've been hurt for weeks now. Josh Doctson, not the special play we thought he might be. There's no one else there. It's strange that he's not using Reed. I guess this is why we say, you know, when a quarterback changes teams, you can't just assume everyone picks up where that's or things are going to be better, because you don't know if the chemistry is going to be there. And my only guess is that the chemistry between Smith and Reed just isn't there.
Well, we have another hour to walk 500 miles and cover the rest of the NFL week number 9. We'll talk DFS, we'll talk wagering, we'll take your calls. In segment number 2, it's 844-843-6879. More Fantasy Sports Day coming back after this.